Begin the current daf, Seftes Menachas daf Kov Beis. Begin the 11 lines down for the top of the Yamet, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is, on the previous daf in Amid Aleph, Rabbi Yishai had said that according to Rabbi Shimon, whom the Gemara quoted on Amid Beis, that says that if something is Asa Bahana, one cannot have any benefit from it, even a non-Jew or a dog, nothing, no one could have any benefit from it, then it doesn't qualify for what the Pasuk says, Mikala Oichel Asher Yo'ichel, which is the qualification that the Pasuk says regarding something being Mekabel Tumas Oichlin. It can't be eaten by anyone. So therefore, it's not Mekabel Tumas Oichlin. So said Rabbi Yeshia, therefore, if someone does pigel in a mincha, so that's something that has to go out and be burned, so it's, no one could have any benefit from it. So then, says Rabbi Yeshia, based on that opinion, Rabbi Shimon, there's not going to be Tumas Oichlin in that mincha. Now, on that, the Gemara asked, that's seemingly from a brisa that contradicts that in Rabbi Shimon's own opinion itself, where the brisa unequivocally says pigel b'mincha mitamat mezeicha, which clearly refutes the halacha of Rabbi Yishai in Rabbi Shimon that says that if you mefagel b'mincha, it's not mitamat mezeicha. So the Gemara says it's not difficult. The brisa is talking about, as the Gemara itself had quoted from Rabbi Shimon, and the differentiation in his own opinion, that when there was a shas akasha, there was a time that it was able to be eaten. If there was a time to be able to be eaten, like Rabbi Shimon himself agrees by Basa B'chalab, since it was able to be eaten before it became forbidden, so although now it's forbidden, but since it was at one point, Mikola Ochel Ashi Ochel, so therefore it's going to be Tumas Eichon. Whereas Rabbi Yishai is told about where it never had a shas akasha. So the Gemara asks, what is that case, Rabbi Yishai, that it never had an opportune time to be eaten? Must be talking about that when the grain, which is what the mincha is made from, it was sanctified as hektish when it was still attached to the ground, which is before it even became a food item to be susceptible to tumah, and therefore you never had a time that it could have been eaten, and therefore it never had mikol ochel sheyochel, and because by the time it's about to be able to be eaten, when you're doing the avodah in the mincha, there's pigel, which makes it not be able to be eaten anymore. Therefore, that's what Rabbi Yishai was saying, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's not going to be mekabel tumas eichel. But that the Gemara asks, why not? Why don't you redeem it? Which that was the purpose that the Gemara introduced this, because it depends on the two different versions that we had Rabbi Yishai on the previous daf. According to the one who says, which is going back to halacha of our previous Mishnah, that if it's tamei, you can redeem it, but if it's tar, even if it's just monetary sanctity, you can't redeem it. So that would make sense. You can't redeem it. So therefore, there was no way that you could have had a shas akasha. But according to the version that says that even if it's tar, like the version of Shmuel, as our Gemara started off the halacha of our previous Mishnah, that you could redeem it, so you should be able to redeem. Says the Gemara, you're right, it could have been. It's like Shmuel that you could, but it wasn't redeemed. So it was never redeemed. It never had a time that it could have been eaten. But that asks the Gemara, why? Since if a person would have wanted to, he could have redeemed it. We're going now, Rabbi Yishai's halacha, the Brayis is going in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, whatever standing to be redeemed, meaning that it could be, we view it as if it was redeemed. Which is the Brayis that this is all related to. Rabbi Shimon says, the Parduma is Mitamitamas Eichlin. Why? When did it never had a time that it was edible? It was first a living animal, and then it was used for the utility of the paradim, which is forbidden to have benefit. Oh, why it had a shasakaisha? When was the shasakaisha? Rish Lakish explains, because the paru could be redeemed on the maracha, on the fire, after it was slaughtered, it could be redeemed, and then since it was slaughtered properly, it could have been eaten at that time. So you see, even though it wasn't redeemed, but he views it as if it was redeemed, to the extent that he's going to consider it being metametam azaychlin. So you see that if something's oimed for that, we view it as if it is, so then the same thing is over here. What do you mean? Even in this, according to this other opinion of Rabbi Yishai, even if it wasn't redeemed, it could have been redeemed. So therefore, if it could have been redeemed, then you should view it as if it was, and therefore it should be Metamet Tumas Eichlin, even the case that supposedly Rabbi Yishai is talking about, which is when they never had a Shas HaKaisha because it was hooked when it was still attached to the ground, who cares? But before it was put into the vessel, when they just had monetary sanctity, according to that version of Rabbi Yishai, it could have been, then we should view it as if it was, and therefore it should be Mekabel Tumah. So the Gemara answered, no, you can't compare it. The Brisa of Rabbi Shimon of the Paraduma, the reason why we view it as Oymed Lipadis is because there's actually, if you find a better paraduma, there's a mitzvah to redeem it. But here by these menachas, no mitzvah to redeem it. And since there's no mitzvah to redeem it, we don't view it as if it was Oymed Lipadis, and therefore it never had a shas akasher, and that's why it's not going to be kalbot tumah. That was Rabbi Yishai's halacha in Ribshim. But now this is the primary thing which our Gemara relates back to. The Gemara continues asking on that principle that the Gemara answers. So we're differentiating in Reb Shimon between, if it's a mitzvah lipadis, then we view it as if it could have been as if it was. But if there's no mitzvah, then we don't view it as if it could have, as if it was. But that, as the Gemara, we had quoted also a brayis in the previous daf. Reb Shimon himself had said that, if let's say, Reb Shimon had said that there are certain noisers which is the carbon that was left overnight, that are metamas tumas eichlin, and are those that are not. So he himself explained what would the cases be. So he says, if it was left over before the blood was thrown, so it was not able to be eaten yet because you have to wait for the blood to be thrown, and then it's left overnight, it's not metamas tumas eichlin, because again, that's Reb Shimon's principle, it has to be able to be eaten by someone. Oh, but if it was left out overnight after the blood was thrown, so it could have been eaten, and it just wasn't, then it's metamas tumas eichlin. So in that as the Gemara, but that case of lon lufnei zrika, if the blood wasn't thrown, but there's a mitzvah to throw the blood, if he wanted to, he could have thrown it, and yet still the Reb Shimon says it's not metamas tumas eichlin, but you're saying in your differentiation the laws of the Paraduma that the Reb Shimon says it's metamas tumas eichlin because you could and there's a mitzvah, so here also you should have said you could and it's a mitzvah and therefore it should be metamas tumas eichlin. Oh, that's what the Gemara says, no. The reason why in that case of lon lufnei zrika, there's not mekabel tumas, is because there actually was no time in the date to throw the blood. And although it says lefnei zrika and lachas zrika, the Gemara explains it means to say before it was able to be thrown or after it was able to be thrown. That's the criterion. You're right, if it was able to be thrown, then actually it would be considered as if it was thrown, because it's a mitzvah lizark, and it would be metamat masaychah. That's one point that our Gemara is going to relate back to. And then the Gemara has another question. Another halacha Reb Shimon says within that braisa, he says that if the kohen does pigul, whether in kachim kachim or kachim kalim, that there it's not going to be tamat tumas eichlin because it never had a shasa kosher. And that is the Gemara. Why there the same halacha is that there's a mitzvah to throw the blood without a machshava pigul. There's a mitzvah to throw the blood, and moreover, if he wanted to, he could have thrown it. And yet, still we see, as the Gemara assumes that the case is talking about that the pigul was during dizrika, which means that the blood was ready to be thrown, and it's oymel lazark and it's mitzvah lazark, and yet still we don't view it as if it was thrown appropriately, and therefore Reb Shimon says it's not metumat tumas eichlin. That refutes the principle the Gemara was using to answer for that opinion of Reb Yishai. And that says the Gemara, no, actually the pigul was during the shechita, so it was already not valid already by the time the blood was around. So therefore the blood was never oymel lazark, there's no mitzvah lazark, and therefore that's why in that case it's not metumat tumas eichlin. But you're right, if it was able to, then actually we would have, if it was the pigul was during the zrika, then actually it would have been considered as matamat ha-maseichin, because we would have viewed oymel lazark and mitzvah lazark as if it was actually thrown. That's where our Gemara concluded in that interpretation. However, that's where our Gemara continues. In Omer of Ashi, he says, Amrit l'shmaita kamed Rav Nachman. I said over this teaching, this discussion of the opinion of Rabbi Yishai with the questions we had from the other Tanoic text of Reb Shimon, which Rabbi Yishai is going in the opinion of Reb Shimon, and then the last two questions which we had, which we had to explain that, no, let's say regarding the halacha of lon, that we said, what does it mean, lefnei zrika l'achas zrika? It doesn't mean literally before the blow was thrown or after. It means, say, before it was able to be thrown, because there was, or after the blow was able to be thrown, meaning before the blow was able to be thrown, we said it doesn't mean that before was thrown, it means before it was able to be thrown. I mean, there was no time in the day. And also regarding the second question that we said regarding the pigle by kachim kalim or kachim kachim, it doesn't mean that the pigle was during zrika, it must be talking during shechita. So we take here the question where we said if it's, well, oymel lazark and mitzvah lazark, we said we viewed it as if it was thrown, and here we're saying it's not, because it wasn't in these two cases, oymel lazark and mitzvah lazark. But on that, said Rav Ashi to Rav Nachman, afilatema, I said, you know what, you could even say that lon, that first question that we're quoting, that if Reb Shimon said that if it was left overnight, the meat of the carbon before the blood was thrown or after the blood was thrown, says Rav Ashi, you could even say mamish, literally the way the simple translation of the braisa is, that before the blood was thrown, even though there was time during the day that it could have been thrown, it's still not going to be tamat tumas eichlin. And when it says after the blood was thrown, it means literally after the blood was thrown. Moreover, regarding the other question that we had, that filatamin, if you want to say regarding the next that case of the braisa, that whether it was pigul by kachim kalim kachim, that Reb Shimon said it's not going to be tummy because it didn't have a shasa kasher. You could even say it's tumat de pigul bezrika, that the pigul was during the throwing of the blood. But then the question we had asked, which we had just referenced, that what do you mean? There's a contradiction. Reb Shimon over here is saying that you don't say kalo emin lazar kazar tummy. You don't say, oh, what do you mean? If you're doing pigul during the zrika, that means right before you do the zrika with a pigul, it was ready to be thrown in the appropriate way. And obviously we're not saying that, because if it would be, then you would say it would be metamat tumas eichlin, and he's saying it's not. That contradicts the other Reb Shimon from the braisa of the Paraduma, who he said, it's going to be metamat tumas eichlin, because kolo imidli pa, this kepati dami. It's ready to be redeemed, even if it wasn't. We view it as if it was, and if it's metamat tumas eichlin. So if Rav Ashi is saying, if I'm saying it's talking about literally lefnei zrika l'achas zrika, and it was the pigul was by the zrika, so then we have this question. And that's Rav Ashi, no, it's not difficult. Because the Ibai Parik Amar, if you say the principle that if he wanted to, he could have redeemed it, that we view it as if it was redeemed, because the element of redemption is not an action, it's just words. He could redeem it just on the words that he's saying. So therefore we view as if it actually was done. But the questions that we're asking from of the Zrika, to say that if he wanted that, he could have thrown it in the appropriate way, that we should view it as if it was thrown, that we don't say, because that's an action. An action we don't say as if it was done. Words we say as if it was done. So therefore, that answers the question. The brisa that Reb Shimon says, kolo oimid is as if it is, that's by something as if with words, that's by the paraduma. But something that requires an action, we don't say that if he could have, as if it was done. And therefore, it's not difficult from those two halachas of Reb Shimon on the other halacha of Reb Shimon. However, on this interpretation of Vashi Meisvi, the Gemara asks from the following brisa. Klal Om Rebbe Shur, Reb Shur says a general rule. Kol Shahisa and the Girsa with all these different is changed to law, not to loy, but we'll read it the way it was written in the Gemara. Kol Shahisa le Shas Hetra le Kahanim. Whatever had a permitted time where it's permissible for Kahanim to eat that Kachim, then from that point on, in Moilimba. There's not going to be any law of misappropriation of Hekdesh because it's not called Kachi Hashem. It's not Hashem's, it's something that was permitted for Kahanim, even if right now it's not permitted, but at one point it had it, so it interrupted the domain of Hekdesh. And therefore, there's no law of Me'ilah. But the Chol Shaloi Hoysloi Shas Hetel Kahanim, whatever didn't have a time of permissibility for the Kahanim, then Ma'ilamba, then there's going to be the law of Me'ilah misappropriation. And says the Braisa Ve'ezehu, or as the Girsa the Shita brings, is Ve'ezehi Shahoi Salah, and which one is it that had Shas Hetel Kahanim, a time that was considered permissible at one point for the Kahanim that there's no more Me'ilah? Says Rabbi Shua, is Shalana, where it had a time that is permitted, but just that it was left out overnight. Or Vishanitmas, or became Tame, or Vishayatsa went out of the perimeter that's allowed to be. So, since it had a time that it was permitted, although now it's possible, although it's not permitted for anyone, but since it was permitted, there's no Mame'il if someone would misappropriate it and use it for his own benefit. Now, Ve'ezehi Shaloi Hoysle Shashat L'Kahanim, what's considered that it didn't have a permissible time for Kahanim at any point, and therefore there's still Me'il on it? It's too much Shanishchata, where it was slaughtered with the intention that it should be eaten, this carbon, Chutzlazmana, beyond its time, Chutzlazmana, beyond its place. So it never had a time that is permissible, because what permits it is the slaughtering. At that point, it already became invalidated. Or v'shekib l'psulin, or the blood was received by those who are invalid, v'zarku esdam, and they threw the blood, where it only becomes permitted after the zrikas adam, and the psul already happened from before that. So it never had a shasa kaisher, never had a permissible time, and therefore it still has the law of kach Hashem of the law of me'ilah. That's the braisa. But one thing asked the Gemara on Ravashi, K'tanim Mi'ereisha, one thing we learned in the first part of the Braisa, that it said, what's the case that it had a Shas Hetel Kahanim? Was Shalana, if it was left out overnight, Vishanitmas, or it became Tami, Vishayatsa, or if it left the area where it's allowed to be, if left Azar. Now, says the Gemara, my lav lo namamish. The simple translation of the Braisa sounds like that the meat and the blood was left out overnight. And the Braisa says, that's the halacha of that it was considered that it had a Shas Hetel Kahanim. Now, where do we see over here that it had a permissible time for the Kahanim? If the blood itself was left out overnight, isn't it because we say, Bahach over here, the Ibai, because if he wanted to have a Zarekhu, he could have thrown it. So that's considered a Shas Hatter, that it would have been permitted. Vikertani, and we learn in the Braisa, the Ein Moyelin, that there's not going to be Me'ila anymore, because we say, since if he wanted to throw the blood, he could have thrown it. We view it as if it was thrown. And once the blood is thrown, there's no more Me'ila. There's a Shas Hetel Kahanim. That contradicts Reb Nachman Ravashi, who they're saying that no, that you don't say, Diboy have a Zarek. You say, Diboy maybe have a Padlis. If you want to, you can redeem. That's just words. But with an action like Zarek, we don't say that. He used it clearly. Reb Shua says, such a principle. Even with an action, that since it was able to be thrown, we view it as if it was thrown. Says Gemara Loi, no, that's not the interpretation of the Braisa. Re'uyalotzes, v're'uyalotame. It's talking about something that is fit to be invalidated by leaving the area of the Azara, or something that's fit to become possible by becoming Tame. And the first interpretation of Rashi takes out the words, not to be Geiris, v're'uyalolam. So what is the interpretation that the Gemara is saying? It's saying, we're talking about, for example, where if the meat was left out overnight, at a time when it still would have been appropriate, what's called ru'uya, to become invalidated by leaving the area or becoming tame. When's that? When is something that it could become invalidated, which means say up until now it's valid, and become invalidated by psul of yoytze tame, is if the blood was already thrown. In other words, that there's no other invalidation, and now it could become invalid by yoytze tame. That's only when it has no other invalidation besides that, because it's not possible yet. It's still ru'uyili possible. It's fit to become possible with psul yetzer or tummy. Because if it was like you thought in the question that it was, that the blood was already left out overnight, then you can't call it ru'uyili possible, that's fit to become possible with yetzer and tumma, because it's already possible already through something else, because the blood was left out overnight. So therefore, says the Gemara, no, that's not what the Bryce is talking about, that it's talking about where you have lona and nitmus and yatza. It's saying that something that when you have the meat that's left out overnight, that could become possible through yaitze and tumma, but not going on the blood. It's the blood was actually already thrown. And therefore, you could even say that you don't say this principle of ibay zarek. You don't say that idea that if you wanted to throw, that would be considered as if already had a shas hetel like anim. No. You don't say hoim lezarek kezarek dami. Here the halacha is saying what is considered had a shas heter because the blood was already thrown and it could become possible through yaitze and tumah. That's something that was actually kosher and permitted for the kahana. However, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, "What avalina mamish? So what are you telling me? But if literally the meat or the blood was left out overnight, my, what are you telling me? Oh, that hachen ami demaylin. That there, yeah, there would still be meila because we don't say ibay zarek." The blood wasn't literally thrown, so it was never permitted. So it still would still be me'ila. On that, as the Gemara, if that's the case, then this terminology that Rabbi Shu used in the Braisa that says, kol shahoya lo yishas hetu lekahanim, that if it had a permissible time for the kahanim, now that wording sounds like, it had a time that it would have been fit to permit it and to throw the blood, where you could have thrown it, but it wasn't literally permitted. And also the other wording of the Braisa, if it didn't have a time that it could have been permitted to the Kahanim. Ask the Gemara, why does it say that terminology? Why say in the past tense? What should have said is, if it has a time that it's permitted for Kahanim, there's no Me'ilah. And if there is no time that's permitted for Kahanim, there's going to be Me'ilah, Me'ilah. That's what it should have said. Why? Because if you're saying it depends literally on the throwing of the blood, not if you could have, that there was a time you could have thrown the blood before it became psul with yetze or tamei, if you're saying it's literally that you threw the blood, so then it should have said in the present tense, because right when you throw the blood, it's the shas het, that's when it becomes permitted. Why say in the past tense? The past tense sounds like the principle that we're asking on Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman, that it could have been thrown. There was a time that it could have been, and that we're then, that's the question we're asking them. It's the wording sounds like that kolayim li zarek is kizarek dami. Another version of Rashi is actually, like the text of our Gemara, to actually have the girsa of Veru'uya Lolan. That the wording of the Gemara's answer that the question had asked on Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman was that, no, the Braisa is talking about that it's fit to go out, it's fit to become tummy, and it's fit to become possible by being left out overnight. In other words, similar idea is that the Braisa is talking about, not difficult in Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman, that the blood was already thrown, and therefore it's kosher because it has no other invalidations. So therefore it's fit to become possible whichever psul would happen to it, which that it would have no other psul besides that. That's something that's fit to become possible, meaning because right now it's kosher. Meaning because where if it was already possible, for example, let's say if you didn't throw the blood, then you can't call it ru'ili possible. Now, that's what the Gemara's question is. Well, if that's the case, that you're talking about a kosher piece of meat, then why is it saying in the past tense? It should say kol sheyeshla, it has right now that it's permissible, because shahisa sounds like that, oh, it's fit to be thrown, but it wasn't thrown. And you see it's still calling that a shasa kaisha, because if you wanted to, you could have thrown. Which again, that's the question that the Gemara is asking right now on Rav Ashi and Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, Elam Rav Ashi, rather he says a different answer. He says, what are you asking on me from? You're asking from me, from this braisa from Rabbi Shua. Now, the question is, that halacha is tuma me'ila. Me'ila is saying that what would be the contingency of me'ila? That you see that by me'ila, that it's still considered something that's not going to have me'ila because, like the Gemara is proving from the wording, from the past tense, that kol ha'omer lezarek is kezarek dami. Says Rav Ashi, me'ila at tumah karamis? You're asking from the halachas of me'ila misappropriation on the laws of tumah, which is what we're discussing, where Rav Ashi was going on these halachas of if it's going to have tumas eichlin or not, by the halacha of pigal b'kachar kachar b'kachar kalim, and regarding the halacha of lon lefnei zrika l'achas zrika, where it's tumah tumah? They're different halachas. And therefore you can't ask that, yes, me'ila mishum kedusha, what's the law of me'ila misappropriation contingent on? On sanctity. It's kach Hashem. So there the halacha of me'ila applies when there's sanctity. Now, so to v'lav kedushahi, when there's no sanctity, then it removes the law of me'ila from it. Now, Labasa de pakala kedushase. So in a situation when its sanctity was already removed, meaning when it's able to, for the blood to be thrown, to be permitted for the Kohen to eat it, which the Gemara says in Baba Kama Daf Ayin Vav Mebeis, that yes, kalam lazar kazar gdami, if it's ready to be thrown, it's like it's thrown. So therefore, yes, that would remove its sanctity. So then, b'may hadra rachvala. So then, how exactly would the sanctity come back on? You're right. Therefore, we'll say over there, as you're proving to me from this brice from Yeshua, kolam lezar kazar gdami, it's going to be permitted, not going to be meila anymore. But tuma mishum ochlo v'lav ochlihi. What is the laws of tuma contingent on? That's contingent on, is it a food item or is it not a food item? If it's a food item, it's mekabel tuma. If it's not a food item, even if it's fit to be a food item, it's like oimid for that, it's still not mekabel tuma because we only say it if it's literally a food item, then it can be mekabel tuma. So even though it's fit to say that you could become a food item because you could have thrown it, that's still not going to make it literally into a food item. So therefore, as the Girsois are amended over here in the Gemara continues and says, Heicha di izarik, where the blood was literally thrown, samashvili uchla, so it's going to make it into a food item, meaning at that point in time it could be eaten. Even if the blood could be thrown, you can't eat it yet. What makes it into a food item that the Kohen could eat it if it's literally thrown? Then the matama tumas eichlan, then it's going to convey and contract tumas eichlan. Heicha di e loy zarik is the text, but if it wasn't thrown, loy mashvili uchla, then it's not a food item. But loy matama tumas eichlan, there is not going to matama tumas eichlan. Therefore, that answers the question. That price, of course, even though it's an action, you'll say kolam lazarik zarik dami. Why? Because that's in meila. Once it's able to be thrown, that's it. It's not kachah Hashem. It's already able to be muta for the kohanim. And therefore, it's not going to come back on, even though now, let's say, there's no more heter anymore. It already lost its sanctity. But by food items, it has to be fit to be eaten. If it's not, it cannot be tamat tamasaychlin. And therefore, there, you're not going to say, kolo oymi lezar, kezarik dami. And therefore, it's not difficult in Rav Asher and Rav Nachman. However, on this answer, the Gemara continues to ask and says, Meisver. The Gemara asks now from a Mishnah Masechtas Krisis. Mishnah says, Hamivi Ashem Tali. Someone brings a carbon Ashem Tali, the suspended carbon Ashem. What's that? That's for a situation, for example, if let's say someone had in front of him two pieces of fat. One was Chalev, and one was Shuman. Chalev is forbidden fats. When Shuman is permitted, there's certain parts of an animal that the fats are forbidden, some are permitted. Now he eats one of them, and he doesn't know which one. There's no way to verify. So, He brings an Ashem Tali, because maybe he sinned, and that's what the suspended Ashem comes from. But then V'noidish Leichate was notified to me, figured out, he found out that he didn't sin. He actually ate the permitted piece of fat. So says the Mishnah, if he found out before the animal was slaughtered, so it's still an intact animal, so Yetzavir Be'edah could go out and graze in his flock with all the animals, because it's Chulin, because he never sinned. There was no utility of it being a carbon. It was never sanctified. It was a mistake. That's the Remeah's opinion of Remeah. The second opinion, they say, as we continue to Amud Beis, they say, no, Yira Atshe Yistayv has to graze until it develops a blemish, because as the Gemara increases, explains the reason of the Rabbana is, because since the person is so concerned, he's so torn over this fact that maybe he sinned, he concludes and he says, whatever come may be, I want this to be a carbon for me, and therefore, it can't just go back to be Chulun, because the person concluded he wants to bring a carbon, but it's not a carbon because he didn't really sin at the end. So it has to graze till it develops a blemish. V'yimachar v'yiplu damal v'lenadav, and then it's sold, and then its monies are used to bring a donated carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. Liazim, the third opinion, he says, Yakrib, he actually could bring that, even though it turns out he knows before it's even slaughtered that he's not chayev or Asham Tali, still you bring it as a carbon. Shemeinu b'al chatzah, because if it's not coming for this sin, harayu b'al chatzah, it's going to come for some other sin, which, as the Gemara Kriyas Dav Chafei Manav says, he's going like his opinion, that he holds a person could donate Asham Tali every single day because there's many sins that people do that they're not aware of, and therefore they could totally bring every day an Asham Tali. So here he says also, okay, if it's not coming for this one because you found that you didn't really sin, it could come for some other sin. Now, continues the Mishnah. Let's say Mishnah Nishchat Noidalei, a different case. Let's say he found that only after the animal was already slaughtered. Oh, then says the Mishnah, Adam Yishavach V'abas in the Saraf. So then the blood spilled out and the meat goes to be burnt, because it's a case of chulin shenishchatu bazar. It was really unconsecrated because it's not really a carbon because it didn't really sin, which is slaughtered nazar, which is invalid and has to be burnt and the blood spilled out. Now, but let's say, says the Mishnah, another case. Let's say nizr kadam. Let's say the blood was already thrown. And only then after the blood was thrown was he notified that, hey, you didn't really sin. Then, says the Tanakama, basi yachal. Then the meat could even already be eaten by the kahanim, because the whole utility of the Ashem Tali was brought for situations of doubt. So therefore, at the time of the atonement, which is the time when the blood was thrown, it was still a situation of doubt. And that Zrikas Adam of the Ashram Tolei came and atoned for that doubt, as the Gemara explains, increases. So therefore, it already was a valid carbon, and therefore the Kohen could eat it, even though now, before they eat it, they find out that he didn't really sin. Rabbi Yisrael, he says even a bigger chiddush. He says, Afil Adam Akois, even if the blood was only in the vessel, and it wasn't even thrown yet, and he's notified that he didn't really sin, Yizrik Babasi Acha, the blood could still be thrown, and the meat could be eaten. Now, V'amar Rabbah, he said, what's the understanding of Rabbi Yisi? He says, Rabbi Yisi, B'shit is Rabbi Shimon Amar. Rabbi Yisi is going like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Amar that he says, Kala Oymed Lizer Kazark Dami, that whatever is ready to be thrown, like here when it's in the cup, it's like it was thrown already. And therefore, since like it was thrown, it was already permitted, and already the Kohen could eat it, even though it was really found out before the blood was thrown. Now, that's difficult on Rav Asher and Rav Nachman. Because in this situation, even though the blood wasn't thrown, we see that we're permitting the blood to be thrown and the meat to be eaten, that what's that halacha? That we're considering this meat as a food item that's considered significant for the Kohen to eat it, only from when it was able for the blood to be thrown. Obviously, you see that even for considering something to be a food item, we do say Yibbo Yizak, which refutes the last Gemara's answer. Last Gemara's answer said, what? You're talking about Me'ilah and Tumah. Me'ilah is sanctity. Tumah is something a food item or not. There you don't say Kalem Lazar. Here you see, even to make something an edible food item, you do say Kalem Lazar Kazarik Dami. Says the Gemara, no. Midi Hu Taima. Is that really the reason of Rabbi Yisi, like Rava was explaining that, and therefore you're asking Rav Asher and Rav Nachman that, because Kalem Lazar is Kazarik Dami? No. Ami Bema Rava Meshmed Rabbi Yisi Bechanina. They said in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rabbi Yisi Bechanina, that Hainit Hamad Rabbi Yisi. Actually, the halacha of Rabbi Yisi is based on a different principle. It's because the Ksavah, because he holds Kli Sharis, a service vessel, like this cup, which is the blood is received in it, Mikachines Absulin, it sanctifies the invalid, which, not that which is totally invalid, but rather like in this situation where it's only invalid because it's not really a carbon, there's no utility for it being brought because he finds out that he really didn't sin, that likitchila likarv, that it allows him to go ahead and initially go ahead and sacrifice. And that's why he says that if even if the dam is in the kais, that yizik v'abasi yochel, not because the principle of kala oimel lezark is arik dami. No, you don't say that, because v'shavi yochel, like we said, Rav Asher Nachman, we don't say that. Here it's based on a different principle. It's just that because the klishar is mekadish, those things which are quasi-apostle, that allows it initially to go ahead and be sacrificed. Now, on this theme, as Rashi explains, that the Gemara is going according to what the original assumption was, that this halacha that we quoted from Rabbi Yisi was going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahani asked, "Mid the Amri Rabbi Shimon, from the fact that Rabbi Shimon says, Kalayim and Lizrei Kizarek Dami, we're going based on that principle that we do say, that even in the laws of Tumah, whatever is standing to be thrown, we view it as if it was thrown. So then, Kalayim and Lizrei, Nami Kizarek Dami. Then you should extend that principle and say, okay, whatever is ready to be burnt, should also be ready to view it already as if it's burnt. So then we have a contradiction. Neisir upara, then regarding things, the karbonas that were left out overnight, or the paraduma, amay metametum asaychlin, why do we say, like we had quoted Rib Shimon earlier from that brisa, that by paraduma it's metametum asaychlin, afra ba'almaninu, we should view it kolayim lesarv kesarvatami as if it was already burnt. Burnt is just like earth and ashes, and that's not mekabel tumah. So why are they mekabel tumah? Why don't you say kolayim lesarv kesarvatami? Samalei said to him, you're right, b'chibas ha-kodesh machsharasam. The endearment of the sanctity, the fact that it's something of hektish, is what actually prepares and makes it vulnerable to tumah. Right, in its essence, it wouldn't be mekabel tumah. Because, like again, as we had in the Avamina that Rabbi Yisrael was going and Rabbi Shimon's principle was extended even to say, in these laws of tumah, kolayim lezer kezarek dami. For the laws of tumah, we would say kolayim lezer kezarek dami. However, chibas kodesh machsharasam, that's the exception that makes it vulnerable to tumah, even though, essentially, it's really already like it's burnt. Now, however, Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi says, "Nehid mahan yelu chibas kodesh lifsuli degufei." What do you mean? Aren't we taking this a little bit too far? Yes, I could understand that the fact that something has the esteem of hektish that would make the thing itself be able to become puzzle, where it itself becomes tummy, which that's what the term puzzle means. It means that this is invalid, but tummy always generally means the term that it could have been extended further. And therefore, that's what Ravina's question is. But lekruya tummy nami, but to call it tummy, which that sounds like lemimne beirishin v'sheini, that we could even extend it and start going down the totem pole of tumo, which goes from a first level tumo to a second level tumo. On that, as the girsa in the shita mikabetz ishei is mima hanyle, would it also take effect to that extent chibas kodesh and make it even, because you're saying this law that these things are tame, like Rabbi Shimon said by Paraduma, and you're saying, oh, that's because of the principle of Chibas HaKodesh, but Chibas HaKodesh is going to make something even become tame to go Rishon Sheni and so on? If that's the case, then Tifshe Debay Rish Lakish, then you should have to answer the question Rish Lakish had asked. Rish Lakish had asked, Tzarid Shel Menachis, which is like a clump, a thick clump of flour, which didn't touch the oil that the mincha gets mixed with. So therefore, it didn't become vulnerable to tumah because it didn't come in contact with a liquid yet. And the sheretz touches that clump of the part of the flour offering that's just flour. Rish Lakish's question was, "Ma'ina by Rishon Mesheni? Are we going to count now in levels of first degree tumah, second degree, and so on? Or ain't ma'ina by Rishon Mesheni? Are we not going to count first and second degree based on your principle that even something that's not really vulnerable to tumah, like here, it's because the flour didn't come in contact with the oil? You're saying just like we have over there by this halacha that it shouldn't really be mekabel tumah because really it's like off already, it's already like burnt already. This neiser and the paradum which are supposed to be burnt, they're ready to be burnt, they're about to be burnt. It should already be considered burnt, and still you say it's tumah. So you see that you do count Rishon and Sheni. So what's Rish Lakish's question? Says the Gemara, no. Kimi boilei Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish's question, if you're going to count Rishon and Sheni, his question was deiraisa on the biblical level, which that has relevancy if it's going to can be considered tumah on the biblical level, that you're actually going to burn the second degree tumah that touched that first degree of tumah of, let's say, that clump of the flour offering. Because that's the Gemara's question, as it said in Zevachim Nef Lamadal Med Aleph. It says in the Pasuk V'habasar, which that Pasuk comes to include not only meat, but even the firewood and the frankincense, which are not really things that are vulnerable to tumah. It's just what's called chibas hakodesh, since these are holy items, so they're vulnerable to become tumah. So you see that that's a biblical law, which I learned that from the word v'habasar, that chibas hakodesh is biblical law. On that, Rish Lakish's question was, but is it that it's only pasul itself? Or would you even say that it's tumah that we're going to start, it could be metama other things to go rishon, sheni, and so on, that you would even burn the second thing that touched that first thing of the levaino or the eitzim or this piece of the menachis? Or would you not count that in biblical law? That's his question. We're not answering that. Because kikar minah, when we said before that these items that are only tumah because of Chibas HaKadosh, that's going to be Tama Tumas Eichlin, which sounds like, yeah, from the word Tumas, sounds like it's even going to be able to convey to other things, Rishon and Sheni, and so on, and Shlishi. That was only Dirabbanan. That was only, we were saying, and rabbinically, we're going to consider Tama. Which, rabbinically, if something becomes Tame, we suspend it if it's something that has sanctity, because we don't burn Kachem on rabbinic Tama. So, yeah, regarding that, but we never answered Rish Lakish's question, would it even have the biblical law, which then you would burn it? So therefore, it does not difficult that Rish Lakish had this question, and based on what we're saying, he shouldn't have a question, because we're told rabbinic, and he's unbiblical, and therefore there's no difficulty, our answer that we're saying, Chibas HaKadosh Machsharasan, where, yes, as Rashi explained, that the Gemara's question was based on the Havamina, that Rabbi Yisrael was like Rabbi Shimon, and you say, Kol Omer L'Zar K'Zar Dami, even regarding Tumah, so then you should say, Kol Omer L'Zar K'Zar Dami also, and therefore it should not be Mekabel Tumah, because it's already burnt, and ashes, and not Mekabel Tumah. No, because, yes, that would be based on the principle of Kol Omer L'Zar. But Chibas HaKadosh is going to tell you that even though it shouldn't be Mekabel Tumah because it's really reviewed as burnt, but that prepares and makes it vulnerable even to Mimitama other things, but again, rabbinically, not necessarily on the biblical level. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding invalidations of like the topic of this parak of HaMenachas V'Nesachim regarding flour offerings. Says the Mishnah, Ha'ima Harialei B'Machbas. So someone says, I take upon myself a neder, a vow to bring a mincha that comes in a flat pan. That's fried in a flat pan. V'Hevi B'Macheshes. What does he end up bringing? He brings a flour offering that's the fried in a deep pan. Or he says, B'Macheshes, I'll bring a Macheshes one, V'Hevi B'Machbas, and instead he brings a Machbas. Says the Mishnah as follows, Masha Hevi Hevi. What he brought, because you could say that what he's bringing is not for his neder. Rather, he's bringing a different nedava. He's just donating this one. And therefore, v'yideicha basal yatza. He's not fulfilled his obligation of his vow. His vow was to bring one type and he brought a different type. But that other type is not possible. That, okay, that will be a nedava. But let's say he has an isarin of flour in front of him. And he says, zu, this flour, which has the measurement of a mincha, is lehevi b'machvas, is to be brought in a machvas. And instead, v'hevi b'marcheshes, he brings that flour in the marcheshes, or b'marcheshes, v'hevi b'machvas. Oh, says the Mishnah, harizu psula. That mincha is going to be invalid because the vessel was already made permanent and defined, which he had mentioned, and you can't change it to another kli. And if it brings another kli, it's going to be possible. Continues the Mishnah. A different type of a case. If someone says, generally a mincha is one isar, and he says, I want to bring a mincha of two isarinis, two-tenths of an eifa, but I want to bring it in one vessel. V'hevi b'shnei kelim, ends up bringing it in two vessels. Or, b'shnei kelim, v'hevi b'kli yachad, says, I want to bring it in two vessels, ends up bringing it in one vessel. Says the Mishnah, mashahevi hevi, what he brought, because it's a valid mincha as nedava, but v'yidecha basal yatsi has not fulfilled his obligation of his vow because he didn't bring what he said he's going to bring. But let's say he says, similar to the contrast of the first case, eilu b'kliyachad, these flour I want to bring in one vessel. V'hev b'shnei kelim, and he brings in two vessels. Now, the relevancy of this is that since he's bringing two different vessels, he's doing two kemitzes, fistfuls, which each vessel is going to have a fistful burnt on the mizbeach, and he only had vowed to bring in one vessel, which would have been one kemitza. So therefore, that's one problem. Additionally, now every vessel is missing proportionately from the flour offering that it's supposed to have, because he's taking off two kemitzes, so the mincha is missing. So too, if let's say he took a vow, b'shnei kelim, b'hevi b'kli echad, he vowed he's going to bring these two esrainis in two vessels, and instead he brings it in one vessel. So here, the mincha has too much flour. And additionally, he's doing too little on the kemitza, because he had vowed that he's going to make two kemitzas, and he's only taking off one kemitza because he's bringing it in one vessel. So it says the Mishnah, Reil Pesul, and here, the flour offerings are going to be invalid. Now, explains the Mishnah, regarding the last cases that we just described. Let's say, HaReil Aishnei Esrainis, Lohavi B'Kliyach. Like we said, if he says, I'm taking upon myself a vow to bring two Esrainis of flour, to bring it in one vessel. Behavi b'shnei kelim, he brings in two vessels. So originally we said, okay, what he brought, but he's not fulfilling his vow. However, the Mishnah says as follows. Let's say Amrulai, people are telling him, hey, what do you bring in two vessels? B'kliyecha nedarta, you vowed to bring it in one vessel. And he doesn't pay attention to what they're telling him. And he kriven b'shnei kelim, he still goes ahead and he brings it in two vessels. Oh, here says the Mishnah, psulim, that actual mincha is actually going to be invalid. Why? Even though he didn't say elu lehevi b'kliyachad, he's going to bring these in one vessel, which we had previously said that that's going to be valid, just not fulfilling your obligation, because he can't say anymore, like we said before, that, oh, this other one is being brought as nedava. Because since they told him, wait a second, what are you doing? You vowed to take it in one vessel. He should have answered. He says, yeah, that was for some other vow, and this is for nedava, and he doesn't say it. Therefore, this must be that one, and therefore he's doing it inappropriately, and therefore it's going to be possible. Now, but let's say b'kliyachad, let's say he hears what they're saying and he ends up bringing in one vessel, then sharon, that's going to be valid. Now, so to with the other case. HaReil HaShnei Esrainis Lehev B'Shnei Kelim. Let's say he says, upon me to bring a vow of two Esrainis in two vessels, Vehevi B'Kliyachad, and he brings it in one vessel. Now, Amar Lo B'Shnei Kelim Nedarta, they say, hey, you said you can bring in two vessels. Oh, HaKriv B'Shnei Kelim. If he ends up bringing in two vessels, then sharon, then it's valid, because he ends up doing the way he had vowed. Now, let's say Nisana L'Kliyachad, let's say subsequently he puts it, those two vessels into one vessel, and then he brings it. Of that, says the Mishnah, is Kishtei Menachash and Nisarva. That's like two different Menachas that get mixed together, which the Gemara in HaKremetz Rabba, early in the Chof Gimel and Alfat said, that when you have two Menachas that are mixed one with the other, which each one requires its own Kemitza, even though now they're in one vessel, if you could do Kemitza from this one separately and this one separately, then it's going to be Kasher. But if not, because they're so well mixed together, then it's going to be possible. And that would be the same thing in this Halacha too. Since there's supposed to be two vessels, and he had them two vessels, he just mixed it together. If you could do a separate Kemitza on each, it's going to be valid. If not, it's not going to be. Now, as Rashi points out, then we must say that this that the Mishnah had earlier said, when he says, Eilu lehevi b'shnei kelim, that I'm taking these two Israelites to bring in two different vessels, and then to bring in one vessel that the Mishnah said it's going to be possible, says Rashi, obviously must be talking about in a situation where you cannot do kmitz on each one individually. Because if you could, then it's like two menachas that got mixed together, and you're going to fulfill your obligation of the two menachas and two kelim, even though they're one kelim. Says Rashi, obviously that's talking about where it's not enough, it's you can't figure out, and you can't take a separate kmitzah on each, and that's why it's going to be possible. Now the Gemara says with Tricha, there were two primary cases that we described. One when you switch the type of vessel, where machvas and macheshes. Another one was talking about where you had the same type of vessel, you just switched how many vessels, or the measurement, if one would say. So says the Gemara with Tricha, you had to say both cases, which essentially were both saying the same halachas. Because Diyash min hachkamai said, we only said the first case of when he says, it's upon me to bring in the machvas, and he brings the macheshes, where we said, oh, okay, what he brought, but he's not going to fulfill his neder. That's mishum de'ama b'machvas v'kamaisa b'macheshes, because he brought a totally different mincha. You said you can bring in the machvas, you brought a macheshes. Aval hocha, but over here in the next case, in the second case in the Mishnah, when he says he's going to bring in two vessels, and he bring in one vessel, where but he ends up bringing that same type of kli, that same type of mincha, where the id v'idi, where both the vessel that he had vowed in, the one that he had brought in, were both b'machvas, or v'id v'id b'macheshes, both of them were macheshes. So it's just that he split into one or put one into two. Amy de Nidranami, I would say he even fulfilled his vow because he brought the right type of mincha. We have to say that case too, that no, he has not fulfilled his vow. Now, Vyash min hached, we only said the second case, Mishum de Kapaliklu. I would say because he's dividing a large mincha into two small menachas, where he had vowed to bring it to one kli, and he brought in two different kalim, which is not what he had said. I will hasam, but within the first case, the loy polig bay, where he doesn't divide it. He brings that amount in one vessel. So emaloy, I would say it's not a problem, even though he's switching from machves to macheshes or the opposite. So we have to say that case too, that both cases are not going to be a fulfillment of his neder. Now, however, turn around and learn the braisa. The Tanna Kama says like the halacha of our Mishnah. Masha hevi hevi, okay, whatever he brought, But videi nidri leyotz has not fulfilled his vow because he didn't bring it in the type of kli or the amount of kalim that he had vowed it. But Rav Shimon Eimer, he disagrees and he says, afi de nidri nami yotza. He says, no, that the person has even fulfilled his vow. And Rav Shimon disagrees on the whole halacha of our Mishnah because he holds establishing when you're taking the vow, what type of vessel, what type of kli it's going to be, is not significant. And therefore, since you ultimately end up bringing the mincha that you had promised, even though in a different amount of vessels or a different type of vessels, that will still fulfill his neder that he had taken. Now the Mishnah had said, in the case of zu lehevi b'machves, when he says this flower is to be brought in the machves, and he brings the macheshes, then it's going to be possible because this was designated for this one and he didn't bring it in that one. Now, however, on that, as the Gemara, but Tanya learned in the Braisa that the same halacha case that we're talking about, when he says to bring it in the machvas and he brings the macheshes, the Braisa says, loy kitchen klei sharis. Those klei sharis that he brought in is not going to sanctify it because since it's not the one that he's supposed to bring it in, it's not relevant to it, it's not sanctifying it. So, ask the Gemara, so since it's not sanctifying it, then why is it possible? But what I mean, you could go ahead and then put it back into the vessel that you had vowed and then bring it the right way because it's not being sanctified at all. Mabai says, no, what the Bryce is saying is, le-kitchum le-karib. It's not being sanctified to be able to be brought as a valid carbon, of a kitchum le-possible, but it's being sanctified to be valid, and that's what our Mishnah is saying, that it's going to be possible, because it is being sanctified, but in an invalidating way. Now, additionally, Mabai, another halacha, Abai says in this halacha of our Mishnah, that le-shonim, we didn't learn when he says, zu lehevi b'machvas, that this flower I'm going to bring in the machvas, and instead he brings in macheshes, that's going to be possible. Says Abaya, as we continue in the type of Kof Gimlam and Alv, that was Elish Shekevon B'Shas Neder. That's only if he establishes what type of Kli it's going to be at the time when he takes the Neder. When he says, Harei Alay Lehevi Ezdu B'machvas, at the time when he makes the vow. Al B'Shas Afrasha, but if let's say when he made the Neder, he just said, I'm going to bring a Mincha. But when he was separating, designating which flower, then he says, oh, this flower I'm going to bring for my Neder and in the Machavas. Then look, then that's not significant. That's not going to validate if it brings in a different type of a keli. Why? Because kashin nedarta, the pasuk says, as you vowed, meaning like you said at the time of the vow, you have to fulfill your words. V'loi, as the pasuk there says, that you have to fulfill mitzvah v'secha, the words that come out of your lips. V'loi kasha hefrashta, but you don't have to fulfill what you said at the time when you actually separated. That's not going to be keveya. That's not going to make it establishing what type has to be brought in. As the Gemara says, "Itmanam is taught to learn the Amr Ba'achav Rabchanina, Barchanina Amr Ba'asi Amr Biyechnan." Says Leishana El Shikavon B'Shas Neder. It was only said this halacha, the Mishnah, if it was established which kli at the time that he took the vow. B'Shas Afrash Alay, but it was only at the time when he actually was designating the flower, and then he says which one is going to be. That's not making it permanent because Kashna Dar to the pasuk that says you have to do as you said is at the time when you took the vow. V'Lo Kashna Afrasha, and not at the time when you had separated, and therefore that wouldn't be a problem if he had switched that. Which he had made only a time of fresh, and he brought in a different one, that wouldn't be a puzzle, and that would even fulfill his neder, his vow.